cross, that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid his life down for each of us. Okay, and we learn in the scriptures because God is good. And when we look at Psalm 23, some people have it at funerals, many people, right? But it's really not about death. It's about living life now, presently for each one of us. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives me everything. I lack nothing, right? It's all about contentment. And he makes me lie down beside in green pastures, and he leads me along the peaceful, quiet streams. And then today we're going to look at guidance. So those first two verses and the first part of three is all about rest, restoration, and refreshment. And the Lord Jesus encourages us to focus on him, our good shepherd. Today we're going to look at guidance. So how does God guide us? And in Psalm 23, it tells us that he guides us along the right path for his name's sake. So it's all about being guided along the right path for his name's sake. And that's really key. So we looked at restoration of our soul. And that's what we focused on last week. And the reason I'm reviewing is so that we can really understand that we all do. Our soul, which is really our mind, emotions, and will, as all humans. So we're really thinkers, feelers, and choosers. And all of us are. And that we can get tired and we need refreshment. And that's what we looked at as far as our soul, all of us. So what damages our soul? And we looked at three areas. And if we just really examine ourselves, we all have a tendency as humans. When we get hurt, because as humans, we're choosers, but the other thing that happens is we get hurt, right? We're pretty fragile. And we have the tendency sometimes to hold grudges and to have unconfessed guilt and to have unhealthy grief. And as I looked at, I was reading The Purpose-Driven Church, and I was listening to a lot of Rick Warren's messages. Anybody ever read The Purpose-Driven Life? And it was, so these slides, and as far as my encouragement for the last week and this week, is really by meditating on God's word and understanding what damages our soul, and then also, where do we get healing? Because we need healing. And Jesus, our good shepherd, provides healing. So how does God restore us? And the way he does this is our good shepherd, he turns our hurts into holiness. And in our lives, we have to go to the good shepherd. That's our responsibility, is to go to our good shepherd and understand that we need his holiness, his righteousness. And Jesus takes our sin on himself. But the responsibility for us is that we have to choose to go to him as our Savior. And there's the great exchange. We don't understand it. All my sin for all his righteousness. And then understanding that Jesus feels our grief. All of us have hurts, and he heals them. And it's so important that our heart needs healing. So how should we respond to the Good Shepherd? And it's all about trusting him more and encouraging one another to trust him because he's forgiven all our sins. And the tendency is that our sinful mind, our sinful soul, torments us that all our sins have not been forgiven because we're sinful. And we have that tendency to understand it's so important in God's word that we are fully forgiven. And we don't have to look back at our past and have this shame and condemnation. We need to encourage one another to live in the present, look forward to the future, and enjoy the life that we're given now. It's so important. And that's why this is a family of believers, and we get involved in one another's lives. And then we learned last week that we need to release my offenders and focus on the future. Forgiveness has been given to us, and therefore, we need to forgive others. And this is a big truth, right? Because if we understand how much you've been forgiven, when I understood, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and what he did for me, I wanted to forgive everyone else because I looked at his mercy and his grace. How could I not forgive someone of a lesser sin than what Jesus had done for me. So it's really important to understand that. And then we learn to team up with Jesus to carry our load. And we looked at that Jesus, he's God. And he can carry everything. And he can lead us along the right direction. And so we don't go left or right. We have that right pace. Because on the left, there's unrighteousness. And then on the left, there's self-righteousness. And I don't know which is worse. Probably self-righteousness, right? But we have a tendency to go in that ditch. And Jesus helps us to stay on the path, his path. So we have to learn some things this morning. And that's what we're going to be looking at, is learning that we need to trust our good shepherd. And because God is good, he's got good plans for his children. We looked at that God's children are his sheep. And that illustration is very powerful. And we have to understand that he meets all our needs. And the good shepherd, he just doesn't feed us, but he leads us. He just doesn't correct us, but he directs us and he guides us. So that's what we're looking at this morning, and that we have to really understand that the choice is ours. When I send every email, I say that life is a gift. Life is a gift, but to live life to the fullest is a choice. And everyone's in different situations here this morning. We're all coming and we're all needy. And we need God's direction. We need his guidance. I think about when Holly and I got married. We looked at our verse, which was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That was our life verse and our wedding verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You guys know it. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Yes, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. It's simple, right? But we knew when we got married that that was going to be the issue. Are we willing to follow God? Our covenant was before God first and then one another. And a covenant is very powerful, right? Especially nowadays, and that's what we're going to talk about, is we have to stop doing certain things so that we allow ourselves to be led by God. So the first thing, if I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, who is holy, I can't follow a culture that does not follow God. We know that it's quite simple. You can't run or even walk in both directions at the same time. Right? It says in James that a double-minded person is unstable in all that they do. You just can't do it, right? That's why life is about choices. And the choices you make determine your successes. And even if you go through terrible times, it's about leaning on the good shepherd and understanding that he's good and that he will help you along the way. Exodus 23:2, I think this is very powerful. It says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Do not pervert justice by following the crowd. We all have to make a choice. So if you want to be led by God, if you want his guidance and you want his love and his joy and peace, which transcends any kind of circumstance, we need to understand that we can't follow the culture that is around us. And just because it's legal, does it have to be moral necessarily? And we know no. Most people make decisions in life that are acceptable. They want to fit in, conform to the crowd or culture. Sure, being a police officer for 30 years, I dealt with people that did not. But the majority of people want to conform to the community that's around them. And that's why we have laws, right? The laws are for the better of the community. The Bible says that you cannot be led by the Holy Spirit a whole bunch of times if you're following others or conforming to the culture. If you look in the Bible, Israel had that struggle to copy the evil world around them. Most of us can relate. We just want to fit in, right? And when we look at Israel, when we're reading the Bible, we have to understand they're just like us. They have the choice to follow God and what he told them or follow our own evil desires or the world system, which is evil. Or, and there's demonic. There's an darkness from evil. And we won't go much into that, but you know what? We have a choice. And so we all struggle, and we have to understand that this culture is not good. There's evil in the culture, and there's also good. But we have to understand that we just can't follow the culture blindly. God has given us a mind for a reason, and the battle is in the mind. And it's so important that we use our minds and we live a life that we can understand that, you know what, it's about choices. If you look at humans, right, we all share the same sinful tendency. And there's a saying, when you're in Rome, do what the Romans do. Or, like if you happen to be on a cruise ship or almost anywhere else, it says, what happens on the ship stays on the ship. And you have that for almost anything, right? And that's just not true. That doesn't work. Your choices that you make affect your family, and it has huge consequences for your life. There's so many warnings in Scripture. Let's turn to Romans 12 again, and as far as understanding what the Word says. Because of what Jesus did, our Good Shepherd, if you look at Romans 12, 1, Paul urges us, and it says in compassion, God's compassion in the Greek, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And look at verse 2, because this is really the key on following God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. So if you look at his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And if you're good, it's not bad. He's got the best. It's according to his will. He is in charge, and that's going to be a main theme, that God is sovereign. And if we don't get that, we're not going to really understand that God is the one, that he's the creator, and as his creation, we need to follow him. And we can't, when we don't follow him, there's problems. It says in 1 John 2:17, the world and all its desires will pass away, but the one who does the will of God shall live forever. Follow God and then have the confidence of being on the right side. You're on the creator's side. Don't conform to culture, but allow God to guide you. So his will is good. It's not bad. His will is pleasing. It's enjoyable. Long term. You have to look at long term. It involves sometimes very difficult choices. Short term. Right? There's pain. But it's for God's will is good. And we can't forget that. And it's perfect. If we look at the second point, I must stop being led by my friends. And you have to make a choice. And you don't want your friends to set the agenda for your lives. Right? You have to make your own choice. And one of the reasons that we don't hear God's will, his perfect, good, and pleasing will, is because we're often led around by our friends and we're hearing their will for us rather than making the choice for ourselves, being in God's word and understanding that he needs to guide us. I told you over and over again that the authority is in God's word. It's not in any of my words or any of my friends. We all need good friends, right? We value them. And we often hear, as far as we don't hear from God because we're so filled with worldly things. And we have to be careful. Like, I'm speaking up here for half an hour or less. But if you're thinking about it, look at the messages that you hear all week on their TV shows, movies, and they're so filled with different messages. And we have to understand that we worry about wind and we worry about water pollution, but do we really worry about mind pollution? That what we're filling our mind with. And so sometimes people can be so open-minded that their brains fall out. Right? And we have to be honest with ourselves. And Many times we miss out on God's will because we're focusing too much on peer pressure and what people think of us. I'm human. I care what people think of me. But I understand that I need to put God first. Life is about choices, but it's about priorities. Making priorities. If you're parents, there's many parents in here. You want the best for your kids, and so you understand that, you know, you try to teach them that it's about choices and it's about priorities. So 1 John again, same author, right? When we're looking at, we're going to notice John has a lot of wisdom to give as far as a disciple. And he says in 1 John 3:7, do not let anyone lead you the wrong way. Jesus is righteous. He does what is right. That's what righteous means. He does what is right. So be like Christ and do what is right. Otherwise, you'll miss God's will. We understand from the word that anyone that is sinning is being led around by the devil, their self, their sinful self, and the world. And we have to understand that we have to make a choice, and that's why we need to be in God's word. And that's going to be a theme that you're going to hear throughout. It's not just that I'm in God's word. You yourself have to be in God's word so you know what I'm saying is true and trustworthy. We see in Proverbs, there's lots of Proverbs. 13:20 says, keep company with wise friends and you become wise. But hanging out with foolish people, they'll always bring you down long term. And make sure your advice is from the right source. Get your counsel from someone that's mature and that you can trust them. And we see Proverbs that bad company corrupts good character. It really matters who we're hanging around. And it's not. God wants us to be friends with unbelievers. Many times at the police service, I had so many people that most did not follow Jesus on God's terms. But what I wanted to do is I was friends and I wanted to help them. And you had opportunities to influence them in their lives. God wants us to influence others without being negatively influenced. Wouldn't you agree? It says in Jeremiah 15:19, you are God's spokesman, and you're to influence them, but do not let them influence you. In the word, it says, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? Real big distinction. So you have to ask yourself, are you influencing your friends, or are your friends influencing you, especially if they're doing it in a negative way? And you have to make a decision. I look at it like a thermometer, and it reflects the temperature in the environment. But look at a thermostat. Thermostat turns the heat up or down. It influences the environment. So I really want to encourage you this morning to be a thermostat, and not just a thermometer. 1 John 2:15, and it looks like it's the same author, John, 1 John and then John, and there may look like a contradiction. Because he says in John 2:15, he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. And then in John 3:16, everyone knows John 3:16. What's John 3:16? Yeah, for God so loved the world, right? And right here, it's not a contradiction, because John 3:16 is talking about the people. 1 John 2:15 is talking about the world system, the world's value system. And you have to make your own decision on that, as far as, is it good or is it evil? And you just have to, I think that God has all given us a mind, and we have to make that decision. So, thirdly, if you look at, if I want to be led by God, I must stop being led around by any other sources beside God. So, let me just bring this back. So, you can't look to any other sources, and there's so many sources for direction in our lives. And God's word is the only trustworthy source. I've met believers who pray to God, and then also they read the horoscope, and they go to this different psychics for information. And we know by reading God's word that we're looking at divine guidance, and we know in the word divination. So seeking the future without going to the Creator is one of the worst things that you can do. And so we have so many sources now on the internet, and we have to be really careful that what we are reading or listening to, that there's truth behind it. Because otherwise, you could be just really being led astray. And it's foolish and dangerous. You have to be very careful on what you allow into your heart. All of us does. And we know in the Bible that God hates divination. In Ezekiel 21:21, there's lots of foreign countries, like even Rome. Rome was built by, if you look at Ezekiel 21:21, it's about inspecting livers and quivers, looking at the arrow, what direction. And they made their decisions by following what the liver would say, and as far as interpreting it. And it was really, really important as far as guidance in war. We see Babylon. Babylon was Assyria. They all did it because they wanted guidance. They wanted supernatural help so they could have victory. And does that happen today? Sure it does, right? Because if you look at palm reading, there's tarot cards, mediums, just right up from our house in Waterloo. And I always point it out to the kids that it's right there. It's been there for years. People go there and they think that they're getting guidance. And I'm not saying it's not. I worked in fraud for 15 years. So I believe in the supernatural. But it's something that God says that we're to go to Him. Go to Him, and there's warning after warning about seeking guidance from any other source. I think we have to be careful. Are we amusing ourselves to death? I was just sharing with the leadership this week, and it really damages our soul when we're being led by social media. Are we managing it, or is it managing us? We have to be really careful, and that we're just not looking at being entertained. Are we just focused on being liked so much? And it's just questions that we have to ask ourselves. So number four, if we want to be led by the Holy Spirit, we must stop being led by our circumstances, because they can lead us the wrong way. So many determine God's will strictly by the circumstances. So if you looked at that, as if you overslept this morning, that you look at God's will is that I not go to church. Or sleep in for work. It's God's will that I not go to work. And you know how long that would go, right? That wouldn't go very well. And you could be skating on thin ice when you build your life completely on your circumstances. David, I think that in the Old Testament, is when he was walking on the rooftop. Remember, he didn't go to war, and he's noticing on his higher rooftop. He's on, and he's looking over, and he sees a beautiful woman, Bathsheba. And this was a circumstance that he had to make a decision. Was he going to not look and not allow himself to be tempted by something he shouldn't do? Everyone knows that story. And he later committed first-degree murder by killing Uriah, who trusted him and who was more faithful than David was at that moment. And so we have to be really careful. The circumstances that we want to make sure. Maybe I'm just going to the next slide. And there's an example this week. I'm at a police conference. I'm on the 38th floor. Lots of circumstances. When I'm there, first of all, I have all the food and drink, and everything's provided. I'm speaking at this conference, and you have lots of influence. And the circumstances, I'm on this 38th floor, and I took a picture during the daytime because I didn't want to do it at night. You could see right into people's bedrooms. And so if you're looking, you would see things and you didn't want to see. And like, I was only for brief moments and I saw this. Thankfully, it was a man, right? So I'm a man. And but the whole thing is that we have these circumstances. When I'm at this fraud branch, at this fraud conference, like, people look up to you and the influence that you have. I remember, and you're making a choice, good choices. And even I was talking to a woman who's like really wanting to ask me questions, and we were going in this elevator. And I understood that, no, you know what? I need to leave, right? Because the whole point is that this is a world that if you're not following God's word, it'll be the same thing. What happens at a conference stays at a conference. That's just not true, right? So it's hard to make the right decision and just to leave. So when you have a situation like this, you have to just understand that, you know, you have to make a hard choice. And I shared this all with my wife because the whole thing is the way that our relationship is, she gives me accountability, but she also understands my situation. So all of us have situations, circumstances like this. So when we look, we got to stop also being led around by our feelings. Our feelings are temporary. Just like when I was in that fraud conference, what I had to focus on was, no, you know what? I close the curtains, right? Don't look, because it'll be harder, right? Because the world has a totally separate system. And when you understand that, and that's why even relationships there, the Lord taught me so many truths, so many principles at this conference. And I was able to share some of them with others, and it gave me opportunities. If I made the other choice, I'd be just like a hypocrite, right? I'm standing up here, but we're all hypocritical to a degree, but we all have choices. So our feelings, we have to be really careful. And you can imagine that sometimes people just look at, is there a peace? But you can't focus, just like circumstances. Circumstances are good to confirm God's will, but not to discern. You see the difference? If you're discerning God's will by your circumstances, you're not on stable ground. They confirm. And God confirms things all the time. And everything does matter. So as far as our feelings, God knows we have feelings. But we have to understand that our feelings can't lead us. And if our feelings are going to lead us, they're going to get us in trouble. Always. Look at Jonah. Jonah had to go to the Assyrians. And God sent him out. But he had such a prejudice against them that he didn't want to go. And so he made a decision and he went the opposite direction. But look what happened on the ship. They're on this storm and they're getting like deathly, like it's really bad. He's sleeping peacefully below. So just because he had peace, he knew, and what did they do later on? He asked them to throw him over so that the seas would calm. So we have to understand that we're in a battle. And that, like Isaiah says, we are like sheep and we do stray. And we have to understand that we don't want to trust our feelings. Our feelings are good, but we have to have that truth and faith leads us and that we do the right thing. So we have to just be careful of feelings. And that's something that we're in a feelings culture, right? If it feels good, do it. That's so wrong, right? We know it. It hurts other people. So this is what we got to start doing. So to get God's divine guidance, we must want to be led by God. And it starts with a choice. You have to be hungry and thirsty for God's will, to please him. There's a sign that's on a church right a couple weeks ago. I liked it. If you're not hungry and thirsty for God, you're full of yourself. Right? I think there's a lot of truth. And David understood this. Like, David was a man after God's own heart, but he struggled, right? And we can learn a lot from David in his life, and a lot of Psalms, which I could go to. But Psalm 48, my God, I want to do what you want. Your teachings are in my heart. David was passionate to know and to please God. Number two, we must be willing to do what God says. And that's making a choice ahead. If I hadn't made a choice at that fraud conference, I would have got myself in big trouble. Right away, you stay away from the fence. That I understand. I understand my weakness, and I understand the world system is evil. And it's really about choices, and we all have them all the time. We have to understand that Jesus wants us to trust him and to surrender, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Right, that song? It's so important. Number three, I must look to God's word, which is his will for our lives. And if you're not in God's word, which is his light for us, right? There's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness that we have to understand that we are in dangerous ground. So that's why encouragement from leadership over and over again. We have Bible reading plans in the back, and it doesn't, I don't care what you follow, but that you're in God's word and that you're just asking him to lead you. Psalm 119, a number of places, 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. In verses 133, guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. God's will is found in God's word. So God's will for you, first place going is cracking open the word and asking Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to lead you. I love that saying, every time you crack open the word of God, you come face to face with God. We have such a privilege that we have God's word. So I think instead of looking for a voice all the time or a sign, instead we need to look for a verse and that God's principles are in his word. So it's not like that your job, God speaks specifically, but we also have to make our own decision, but the principles remain the same, right? There's principles that we need to learn and we need to live out. So number four, if we want to be led by God's Spirit, we must ask the Holy Spirit to be our guide. He is our guidance counselor. Right? The Word is a roadmap. We have our conscience, which is a compass, but we feed our conscience. So if you don't feed your conscience properly, you're in trouble. So you can't rely fully on your conscience either. But the Holy Spirit, he's holy, and he's going to guide us towards God's will. And so asking him and being really intentional. And so how does the Holy Spirit work? And because God, he reminds us, the Holy Spirit is our counselor, our guide. But we're so forgetful. Aren't we forgetful? And what we need is reminders, and we need grace in our lives, and that's how we grow in Christ, is that the Holy Spirit just points us, and he helps us to live a life that honors God. So I think in Romans 12:3, just looking at this carefully, how do we get God's guidance in a way that we need to? And 3 says, verse 3, you have to look at it. We have to ask humbly and we have to ask in faith. And verse 3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the truth or with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So it's very important that we're humbly seeking God and that we ask in faith, that we believe that what God is saying in his word is true and that we can trust it. So lastly, we have to understand, to listen for God's guidance, we have to just listen. We have to spend that quiet time. Jesus showed us in the word that he spent quiet time with his Father. And we need to find quiet time where we're away from others and that we can just really listen to God and ask him the questions, and he will guide us in such a supernatural way. And it's all about learning to trust him and learning to listen, because God does speak in wonderful ways. So just in closing, we have different things that are available. We have Right Now Media. So there's great devotionals, and if you want it, just please ask. It's available to anyone. And so there's so many resources. We have the Daily Bread that's there, and it's really nicely gets you into God's Word. And I have a principle that in my life that I follow, that I need to do everything myself, my choice, but then God does everything that I can't do. And I've seen him do so many supernatural things over and over and over again. So in our lives, we have a choice. Let's honor and glorify him. So let's pray and just really open our hearts to hearing what the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning, because there's things that we need to not do, and then there's things that we need to do, right? And we all want to learn, don't we? Learn and grow, and that's what we want here at Maple Creek. That we're learning and we're growing together, and that we can encourage one another to live in such a way that we are following the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our Good Shepherd. Thank you for the way that you lead us. And you're there to give us contentment and to lead us and to give us peace and that love and that joy. And you encourage us and you guide us. Help us to understand that we have to say no to the culture that's around us. That's evil. There's things about our culture that's around us that we know. This is a fallen world. We have a broken body, and we have to understand that we need to follow you. Help us to follow you and make it a priority, not our friends. And thank you for the friends that we have, and especially the biblical friends. But there's friends that are like close to us, and they may not even know you, but thank you for the way that we can influence them, and help us just to lean on you more and more. Help us just not to find any other sources, that we know that we need to go into your word. Help us not to be guided strictly by our circumstances or our feelings. Instead, Lord, help us to see the wisdom that we need to follow you, and that we must make a choice to be led by you. Help us to understand that we need to ask you, Holy Spirit, to be sensitive to your presence in our lives. Thank you for the privilege that it is that we can learn and grow and follow you. And help us just to quietly listen as you direct us, as you promise us in your word. Your lamp is a light for our feet and a light for our path. And we need direction. We are sheep, and we do have a tendency to wander. And I pray for anyone here, anyone that's not a believer, that is not indwelled with you, Holy Spirit, that you'll just help them. And we know that you point everyone to Jesus, but just help them. Help them, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.